Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. Extremely special because of my featured guest, which is former Raiders CEO. You guys know her as the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask, who was a Raiders staffer for a long time. The Raiders CEO from 1997 to 2013, but right now she is an analyst on CBS Sports Network's The Other Pregame Show, which airs this week and next Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, promoting an AFC wildcard round game between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills. And if you want to take a deeper dive into everything that Amy's done during her illustrious career, go buy a copy of You Negotiate Like a Girl. Definitely worth your time. Miss Trask, how are you doing on this fine January afternoon?
Well, I am delighted, thrilled really to join you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm a big, big fan of your work and kind of excited about joining you. I hope I don't end up on the cutting room floor.
Something tells me that you're going to make the final cut. I have a small inkling considering that how excited I am to be doing this podcast. And as I'm sure that you could figure, Amy, the timing of talking to you really kind of lines up with the strong prospect, the expectation that John Gruden will become the Raiders' next head coach, as a matter of fact, and this kind of blows me away. January 8th, 1998 was when John was hired. We're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of that. That seems crazy to me. And I guess I was just curious if you could take us back in time a little bit about when that hire was made and why you and Al and the Raiders powers that be decided to bring in a young 34-year-old offensive coordinator from Philadelphia.
Well, you can't see me, of course, but I am smiling ear to ear when you ask about Al and the Raiders' powers that be, because certainly that was Al, and We can end the sentence right there. While I did have a very strong role, of course, in our business operations, Al, you know, let me give you an anecdote to explain this. It was a time the team was struggling, and my route home from the office every day took me past a giant billboard that said, "Al, get a general manager." And I both grimaced and smiled, because what a lot of people didn't recognize was we had a general manager and his name was Al.
Right.
So, you know, Al oversaw all of our football decisions and all of our football operations. And he is the person who selected the head coach in that instance. There's a little bit of a story to that, if I may. Mm-hmm. And this is not in any way to suggest, I don't think John did a magnificent job once he became head coach, because he did. He was very, very good for the organization. But that was the one coaching search in which Al ever involved me. And I met the candidates, and he asked me, after I had met each one, who I recommended he hire. And without any hesitation whatsoever, I said, Bill Belichick, because Bill is one of the candidates with whom I met. Mm-hmm. Well, Al ultimately went on to hire John. And as I said, John was terrific for the organization. It's not a criticism of the decision. But I always thought that Al would sort of take that secret with him, or take my recommendation with you, if you will, with him, and it wouldn't become public. And I was so touched and honored and really thrilled a number of years later when at a press conference, Al said, "Yeah, Amy told me to hire Belichick." So that it then became public, and he would periodically say to me after that day, "Kid, You know how to pick a coach. But that said, I never did pick a coach for the organization. But I, also, as I said, John did a terrific job.
Yeah, and I guess I'm curious. I wasn't in the Bay Area back when John was coaching and you guys really went through that golden period. I guess I'm just curious. There's so much reverence for John in the East Bay right now. Where do you think that stems from during his first time, you know, as the Raiders head coach?
Well, on field and off field, because on the field, he turned the ship, if you will. If you consider a franchise a ship and you've got to turn its course, he redirected the course of the organization. That was on field. He accomplished a tremendous amount on field. And off field, he was invigorating and enthusiastic and gave a spark to the organization that it needed.
And as you guys kind of went from, 4-12 was the worst record that you guys had had in 35 years, something like that, before he was brought on there. I mean, it's not all one guy. It's not all Gruden. It's not all Al. It's not all personnel. But what was kind of the right mixture that allowed you guys to surge and really become a dominant team there in the late 90s and early 2000s?
Well, I think you articulated it well. It was the right mixture. It was the coach, the relationship between Al and the coach, for most of the time John was with us, was a very productive relationship. Mm-hmm. They disagreed in what I will call a very, very healthy manner when they disagreed. They each articulated their views to one another, and I'm a big believer that healthy, agreeable disagreement, if you will, productive disagreement makes a franchise better. And we acquired some terrific players. Look, I worked for Al for almost 30 years, and I note that because for almost that, let's just say umpteen times over that 30-year period, he said to me, the players are the game. And he's right. I'm fond of saying that it's far easier to go find a CFO or a controller or a CEO than it is to find the right left tackle, the correct left tackle. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a combination. It was John as a coach, the relationship that existed between John and Al when that relationship was productive, and the players that were on the roster at the time.
And then if we could aim a bit more to when it wasn't so productive, obviously that led to the trade, which, you know, still kind of lives on. And stories and a great oral history was told by ESPN that I think you were a part of about that trade. Can you kind of give us your reaction to it and your recollections of how that went down?
Oh, sure. And it's, some would say a funny story. It certainly wasn't funny at the time. I did share it in the book that I wrote. Al was meeting with a few of us as he was mulling over this trade, and I was the one person in the room that repeatedly said, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think we should do this. And I used a phrase that I've used my whole career and I still use now on television, which is, and do what? And I would say to Al, I don't like this idea. I don't think we should make this trade. I don't think we should do this. But if you are considering a trade, you'd better ask and answer this question. And do what at the head coaching position? Because if your answer is not as good or better than the existing situation, that proves my point. You shouldn't make the trade. Well, this went on for a bit of time, and I vividly, vividly recall my husband and I were returning one night to our home up in the Oakland Hills, and my arms were full of things, and the phone was ringing. We actually had a landline, and by the way, kids, I still have a landline.
You do not. But this is great.
I do too. The phone was ringing, and I grabbed it, and my arms were full of things, and I was distracted because we really, really were just walking in the door, and I was rushing to grab the phone, and it was Al. And I remember hearing blah, 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 traded Gruden trade, or something like that. And I interrupted him, and I said, look, I really don't think we should do this. And his response was, you didn't hear me. I just told you I just did it, and that's how I learned of the trade.
Wow. And I guess we can fast forward, and I can have you put on your NFL analyst hat for a second and borrow your phrase with the and do what question mark. Mark Davis fired Jack Del Rio with an answer to the "and do what" question, and maybe Jack wouldn't have been gone if not for that. Do you think that was a proper move, considering that the end of that "and do what" question, that the answer was John Gruden?
Well, I think you're right. Your analysis seems spot on to me, that because he had an answer to "and do what" that he believes was better than the status quo, he decided to make the change. And I hope for Raider fans that works out to their delight. The team has at least one, perhaps two or three more years in the Bay Area before it leaves to go to Las Vegas. And this will excite the magnificent, magnificent Bay Area fans who have stuck with the team through thick and thin. And I loved our fans from the day I joined the organization. I always will. And this will excite the fan base in Oakland while it knows its team is on the way out the proverbial door. And then as to the Las Vegas market, the team is taking on just a staggering, breathtaking amount of debt in conjunction with that stadium project, and therefore has a lot of really, really, really expensive product to sell. Suites, club seats, PSLs, sponsorships. And this is going to give a little bit of pizzazz needed to spur those sales. So from a business standpoint alone, it can have some tremendous value to the team. And by the way, I don't want fans to read anything into that. It is not mutually exclusive to say that it is going to help the team from a business perspective, and also to say that, you know, this has a good chance for the Raiders of working out on the field as well.
And if I could just play devil's advocate here, because I was trying to think about the timing of the move in terms of keeping rear ends in the seats here in Oakland, keeping East Bay eyeballs on televisions, and then maybe hopefully taking that market to the Silver State. Amy, what if this doesn't work? What if it's 500 or less, and then you're still trying to accomplish all those things that you mentioned that I was talking about? What if this doesn't work? Was this a great mighty swing of the bat? And if it doesn't work, then you strike out going into Vegas. Could it have a negative impact if the wins don't come?
Fair enough, and you know, well stated, beautifully articulated. It's almost like you do this for a living. And you know, sure, you posited a scenario which may occur, but you know, nobody can foresee the future, and who's to say that might not have occurred if the team continued the status quo anyway?
Yeah.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I mean, I'm fond of saying, I'm not fond of it happening, but I'm fond of expressing on the shows on which I participate on CBS Sports Network that every team is, you know, one injury away from a really rough season. Look what's going on in Philadelphia with Philadelphia's prospects now that Carson Wentz is out. You know, there's no certainty in football. It's a game of inches. It's a game of seconds. And one injury can doom a season.
And as you kind of look, there's been a lot of talk. And again, I think when you have a full week or maybe more before something you expect to happen happens, there's lots of sound to fill the void, you know. And so a hot topic this week is about how John Gruden and quarterback Derek Carr are going to interact, how that, like whether that will be a match made in heaven or not. Do you have any opinion on that in terms of what you've seen from Derek and what you see from him as a player compared to what you know about John?
I don't know Derek personally. Mm-hmm. I have not met him. So I will simply say that which I've read about him and that which I've, you know, followed, and certainly in my role with CBS Sports, we follow all 32 teams. He is well known for, well reputed for his very strong feelings about religion. And I'm just saying that sort of globally because I don't want to get into – I don't want to speak for Derek. Mm-hmm. I never speak for another human being.
Okay.
But certainly he has been vocal, and it is not a secret that he is – and again, I'm using the word religious simply as an umbrella to not delve into, you know, how he practices or how he observes.
Of course.
But he is observant, and I'm going to say what I'm about to say about John Gruden with love and affection – because I don't think anyone can have a worse mouth than I do. I'll give you a footnote on that just very quickly. I'm involved, as you probably know, with Ice Cube and the Big Three. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was said of me during our first year that I might have been the one person involved with the Big Three that actually swore more than Gary Payton swore. So what I'm about to say about John, I am saying with love and affection, Derek might have to get used to some language that he may not enjoy as much as some others. And yes, I know he's played football for his whole life. And yes, I know he's been in locker rooms his whole life. But when I did hear some of those stories that you have just suggested were percolating, that was the first thing I thought of. But they're both adults. And, you know, people can get along with those with whom they don't have the same worldview.
One last quick question for you. There's a lot of talk about kind of John Gruden kind of managing personnel and things like that. Where do you think Reggie fits into this whole equation? Do you think maybe he would still have a place here?
You know, I can't answer that, obviously. It would be silly of me to anything I said would be speculation. I will tell you my world view on that, however. Adults can find a way to work together if that's what they wish to do. Mm-hmm. And one of my push button pet peeve topics is just what you referenced. There's this hullabaloo often made that a GM has to hire a coach or a GM has to be brought in at the same time as a coach. Well, you know what? What do people say all the time to five-year-olds, whether they're siblings or classmates? They say to little kids, five, six, seven, however old they are, find a way to get along, find a way to work together. Were I an owner, if a general manager or a head coach ever came to me and said, you have to choose him or you have to choose me, my response would be, if you ask me to choose one of you or you put me in a position where I need to choose one of you, I'm going to choose neither of you. Now, look, you don't have to be friends. Mm-hmm. You certainly don't have to agree all the time, because organizations are better and stronger when people don't agree all the time. But you do have to be adults, and you do have to find a way to work together for the good of this organization. You're both employees. I'm the employer. I'm going to hold you to the same standard you hold your five-year-olds to. So, you know, I think maybe a lot of hullabaloo is being made as to whether they can get along. And my hope for Raider fans is that they do what I think are the four most important things in business. They communicate, they cooperate, they collaborate, and they coordinate and work for the good of the organization.
Amy Trask, thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciated. And guys, don't forget, the other pregame show airs on CBS Sports Network, 9 a.m. Eastern this Sunday. Next Sunday, don't forget about the CBS wildcard game, Jaguars versus Bills. And please, for the love of goodness gracious, go out and buy a copy of You Negotiate Like a Girl. Amy, thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you for having me. Really and truly my honor.
Thanks to everyone for downloading and listening to a special edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast featuring former Silver and Black CEO Amy Trask, who came on at the absolute perfect time, just as the Raiders are on the verge of hiring John Gruden as their head coach for a second time, because there is no one who could offer such great details about the first time that the Raiders hired John Gruden back in 1998, why they traded him to Tampa Bay, and the lasting impact that he had on this East Bay market that still loves him so. And I thought she also gave really great insight on why the timing of this hire is important now, how Gruden can help keep butts in the seats in Oakland while eventually assisting as the Raiders ramp up for their big move to Las Vegas in 2020. So an extra special thank you to Amy for taking the time during what is a busy season for her as an NFL analyst as the league ramps up and heads into the playoffs. If you like what you heard, trust me, there's going to be plenty more special editions of the Raiders Insider Podcast as we move towards and beyond this Gruden hire and throughout the rest of the offseason. If you like what you heard, I encourage you to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com.